thankful for the opportunity to gather again on a Sunday evening in the Lord's name. Just have this chance to witness. This chance to worship. I just saw Steve had perched that camera up there, and my mind went blank. I said, witness. Thankful for the opportunity to just be here. How many of you have ever heard of the name of, was it Richard Wurmbrand, something like that? He came out with a book, I think in 1967, Tortured for Christ. He was this Romanian Lutheran pastor. And when the Soviets came in and took over the country of Romania, this pastor was captured by the Soviets and was tortured severely for 14 years. And he never lost his faith. Jerry and I watched that today after lunch, and when you realize what some of our brothers and sisters in Christ have had to go through to stay true to the Lord and do what they felt God wanted them to do, we have it so easy.
Amen.
We have it so easy. It was a very challenging movie. Hamburg Library has that lending library. It'd be worth each of you to swing by and pick up, borrow it. Seeing what these Christians did at the hands of the communists because they did not want anyone to worship the true God. They wanted people to be loyal to the state church. While in the state church, you don't say anything. You're puppets. But to be loyal to the truth of the Lord and witness. One of the scenes there in the prison where this pastor was, there were numerous other believers there. And I don't know how long this went on, but he said in the narrative, they had an agreement with the guards, the soldiers. We would worship God. You come and beat us. And then you've done your thing. You bring us back and we'll continue to worship, okay? And that went on day after day after day. The guards were required to beat the prisoners. And when it was all done, I told my wife, I said, you know, something like this is so disturbing. Because I'll say in all honesty, I don't know what I would do. When you see the testimony of someone that faithful who endured that much, if that happened to me, would I be as strong? Would I be as faithful? Would I hang on? You say, Pastor, that's terrible. I know my own heart. Don't you know yours? I told my wife after that, I said, I hesitate to witness to a neighbor. And what makes me think that I would withstand day after day after day persecution How thankful. Here we sit in the comfort. Our lives are not being threatened. Has God blessed us? Do we have something we ought to truly be thankful for? You'd better believe it. And don't ever say it could never happen in the United States. I'm really concerned about the position of some of the leading candidates that are vying for the choice of our nation, what they stand for. God has been so good. How much longer is he going to be good to us? I don't know. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be here tonight. Thank you for the freedom. Father, we talk about persecution, and we think when somebody laughs at us for mentioning the Lord, we're being persecuted. We don't have a clue what persecution for Christ is, and what multitudes of your own dear children around the world have had to go through down through the ages, from the beginning of the church in the New Testament up to this very present day. Father, forgive us for our laxity. Forgive us for our foolishness. Help us to be more faithful to you. Help us to be more loyal. Help us to be more vocal. Pray that you would speak to our hearts this evening. May we glean the truth from it. For your glory and honor, in your name I pray. Amen. Well, for you note takers tonight, put your pens down, because we're not going to really have something that's going to be so easy to come up with an outline. Do something different this evening. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And Andrew, you like titles on those discs. Which way? What path? Which way? What path? Proverbs chapter 4. And in this, we're going to try to get through these verses this evening, not in a systematic way, spending a lot of time. I was thinking about, we often encourage people to study the Bible on your own. And people say, well, I don't know how to study. I don't know how to, I wouldn't know what to do if I did try to sit down and study the Bible. Sit down with your Bible open, turn to a passage of Scripture, and this one I think this evening will lend itself. If you had a piece of paper and you just look at the verses and ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, your heart, to understand the truth. And in this fourth proverb, as many of the proverbs, Solomon is speaking words that really are such practical wisdom for us. And he talks about in this chapter the importance of listening and living by the word. Listening to and living by the word. We talk about that from time to time, don't we? How important that is. And I think you're going to see as we look at this, we're just going to kind of walk through it. And when we get done, you can go home. But hopefully you will see some things that, wow, you know, that was pretty simple to just kind of look at something like that. And maybe on your own, you might be challenged to do some of this. Having said that, we're going to be picking out a couple of words, path and way. And we're going to see those later on in this fourth chapter. But Solomon began in verses 1 through 9 by making reference to what his father had taught him. Who was Solomon's father?
David.
Did David know the Lord?
Yep.
He certainly did. And in these first 9 verses, he starts out by saying, "Hear, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." And in verses 4 through 9, especially, we're going to see him pointing out various things. But as he starts this, a father relating words of his father, something he mentioned in verse 1, he says, attend to no understanding. Attend to know. Make an effort to understand this truth. Put your mind to it. I think sometimes we're guilty of saying, you know, I just sit down and I read the Bible and I don't really remember anything of it. How much have we really put an effort into trying to understand and make note of or even remember what we have read? And that's what Solomon is saying here as he begins, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father." A father once has some words to share with you. And he said, I want you first of all to make an effort to understand what I'm going to be sharing with you. Now in verses 4 through 9, he talks about various things. He mentions, I was my father's son, tender, only beloved in the sight of my mother. In verse 3, he taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So what's Solomon sharing here that David had told him? Solomon said, my father taught me to cherish the word. Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. What is it that David was wanting his son to understand? And I know sometimes, especially depending upon the certain age, it's sad that sometimes as we're growing up, we get to that point and we think, he's just an old fuddy-dud, and I can figure things out for myself. Was David at that? Probably teenage years. It's amazing how they reach that age and all of a sudden, we think our parents don't know anything and we know everything. Let me just give a clue. It's not too many years after that that one day we wake up and we realize I am amazed at how much my parents knew. A few years ago, I didn't appreciate much of what they were trying to teach me. But boy, now, we find our parents get smarter all the time. And here's what he is saying. He said, he taught me, he said unto me, retain, let your heart listen to what I'm saying, and keep my words. Well, what was it that David was wanting to share? Get wisdom. Get wisdom. get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. How? Where did she come from? Who is she?
Wisdom.
She is wisdom. That's the picture that he's referring to here. Think of her as a lady. And he says, forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. He's not talking about a woman here, but he's talking about, he's using figurative words. Cherish wisdom. Get all you can. Get the wisdom, or give the wisdom of the word, right place in your heart. He says in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Oh, he would be a pretty good parent, some might be thinking. He's telling his son, you need to get a good what? Was he saying you need to go get a good education? That's what many parents stress to their folk, to their children, isn't it? Is there anything wrong with education? No. But does wisdom necessarily come with education? No. He didn't say get all the education you can get and cherish it, but he said, my son, you pay attention to wisdom. Where's wisdom come from? The book of Proverbs is full of it, and it tells us that wisdom is from whom? Wisdom is from God. He says here, these Proverbs in chapter 1, he said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. You drop down, and he says here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, the instruction of a father. And he goes on, wisdom comes from God. And Solomon had been speaking of that in the previous three Proverbs that he had written. And now as he says, son, I have some special words for you. He said, I want you to pay special attention to them, make an effort to understand what I'm telling you. Here are some words that I trust you will lay hold of. And he said, you give the wisdom of the word right place in your heart and life. Okay, suppose I do that. What am I going to get out of it? Verse 8. Exalt her. Again, this is not a woman. He's using this metaphorical or figurative language describing wisdom as a lady, a woman. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when you embrace her. When you realize that, you know, the most important thing for me is not letters of doctorate behind my name, but the important thing for me to be pursuing after is the wisdom that comes from God's Word. And that's what I'm going to devote my life to. Solomon said, when you do that, here's what's going to take place. She'll promote thee. She's going to reward you. She'll bring you to honor. When we give God right place in our life, and I, again, thinking of that movie that Jerry and I watched this afternoon. But look at what those people had to suffer for Christ. But the honor in the eyes of the Lord as they kept their faith for the Lord. As we think of this, we see in verse 9, he says, "She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." What is this? Attractiveness. People are going to notice there's something different about you. Going to give to your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory shall deliver you. We think about someone who has lived their life for the Lord and someone that God's word has been so important to them. They're a special person, aren't they? What's made them special? It's their love for the Lord and their faithfulness to the Lord. And we see even that as we talked this past week at Jonathan's funeral. What was it that made Jonathan so special? It wasn't that God just put all the right ingredients in him naturally, but it was because of what he let the Lord become to him and what he made of his life for the Lord. And the bottom line is, on Jonathan's head, there was a crown of glory for the glory of the Lord. It was an ornament of grace. People, there were unsaved people here, I'm sure, that came because of the influence a wise man in the Lord had on their life. Someone who had attended to know wisdom. And Solomon says, "Son, I want to share some truth with you. I want to share with you importance." Now, beginning at verse 10, we see a change. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings." What's different? What did we see in verse 3 and 4? Whose words was he making reference to? His father's, David, to him. Now in verse 10, he changes it and he says, "My son, I want you to pay special attention to my words and what I have to say." And we see here the first thing he mentions, if you will listen to these and receive them, what's the benefit for you? Verse 10, "The years of thy life shall be many." The years of thy life shall be many. We find here length of days. If God's word is received and appreciated in one's life. I made reference to this a number of years ago. But I remember when I was in junior high school, there was a classmate of mine, quite popular, happened to go, of course, to the same school that I did, and there was no pretense of him knowing the Lord as his personal Savior. He was just an average schoolmate that didn't know the Lord from all appearances. And one day, the news came out that Gary had in his driveway been working under a car. He had had it jacked up and he was doing something underneath the car. And the jack slipped. He had it jacked up in the sand. The jack didn't hold, and the car in its full weight fell down upon him and took his life as a 16-year-old right there on the spot underneath that car. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, and church was a part of my everyday, every week experiences, and I was very familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, which says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth, if you obey and honor your parents, because that's right. And that's the first commandment that comes with a promise of long life. And I remember as a teenage boy, same age, I thought to myself, well, if God's word is true, and I believed it was, I guess Gary wasn't very obedient to his parents, and he hadn't done much honoring his parents. Because God's word said, if you obey and honor your parents, you're going to have long life, and it'll be well with you. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon said to his son, "My son, you receive my sayings, and the years of your life are going to be many." I'm not saying that a person who knows and loves the Lord and has a proper respect for their word is always going to live to be a ripe old age, but here is a principle spoken here. A principle spoken of that so many times has proven to be true. Notice in verse 11, here's the first time that we find now one of our key words. As he's speaking to his son, he says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened or hindered, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." Here we see the way of wisdom is referred to as right paths. He had learned these from his parents, and now he was passing them on to his own son. What value would this be? Should his son heed the words that he has to say? He said in verse 12, you're going to get direction and purpose of life. When you go, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, thou shalt not stumble. What good does it do me to take in and become familiar with and love and study God's word? What benefit is it for me? Well, guess what? Solomon was telling his son, when you go, because I'm leading you in the way of wisdom and I'm sharing with you right paths, you are going to discover, actually this 12th verse, direction and purpose of life unhindered. This verse shares us a picture of someone getting somewhere with their life. Why? Because they have given heed to God's wisdom. And he says in verse 13, take firm grip, fast hold of instruction. Cherish it. Don't let it go. She is thy life. One of the things that really I think about, I feel bad about, I don't know what I can do about, But I think about in all the 42 years that I have been here, and in those early years, how large our congregation was. We had 125, 121 were counted at President Jonathan's funeral. Those of you that were here, didn't it look like the auditorium was really full? Do you know that was an every Sunday occurrence? We had that many people years ago. And we had so many children, families with children, and those children grew up in Sunday school, they attended Vacation Bible School, they went through the Awana program. I think of the hundreds of verses that these young lives they committed to memory. How I wish I could say all of those who came up through the ranks are walking with the Lord. How I wish I could say they have taken fast hold of that instruction. They didn't let it go, verse 13. They saw it as their life. I can't say that. Had they, there would have been some different differences seen in the lifestyles of dozens and dozens that went through the ranks here. The bottom line is, mom and dad can't make the choice for the children any more than anyone can make the choice for you or me. Each one of us is personally accountable and responsible for what we do with God's Word. Do we cherish it? Do we treasure it? Do we study it so that I can learn what it says? Do I see its value for contributing to my life and giving me direction? Or once I get old enough and I've completed the books, I walk away from it and whew, I'm glad that phase of my life is over. This is life, Solomon said. Don't let her go. This is life. In John chapter 6, verse 63, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Do we believe that? In the temptation that the devil brought to our Lord, when the devil tempted our Lord to turn the stones into bread, because surely you're hungry by now, it's been 40 days and nights, wouldn't you like a nice bite of some fresh homemade bread? You could do that. What was Jesus' answer to him? Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's what Solomon means by verse 13 when he said, take hold of her, keep her. She's your life. You're going to find the key to life in God's Word. We move on. We find a word of warning in verse 14. He says, here's another one of our key words. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Remember, our topic is which way? What path? Which way and what path are you going to walk on? And as Solomon was sharing this truth, he was warning his son. Don't even start down the path or go on the way with these who are wicked, and they have no interest in the things of the Lord. He says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. He describes them in verse 16, they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And they can't sleep unless they've caused someone to fall. Isn't that a good description of the depraved, unregenerate person? It's like they can't even sleep if they haven't done someone wrong. They eat the bread of wickedness, they drink the wine of violence, but in contrast, we see here the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The description of the unsaved man, he walks in what? Darkness. But for one that knows the Lord, we walk in the what? Light. And when we are looking to the Lord, Solomon said, the path of the just, why, it's like a shining light. Some of us are flashlight fans here, aren't we? We always like to show each other some of the newest ones. And we're not content until we have it. And you can never get too many. And we find here that the way of the Lord and what he, if one personalizes God's word into their life, and one says, I want to walk in the ways of the Lord, I want to follow his leading, he leads me in the what? Pardon? Paths of righteousness. That's what we're going to find where we're going to find our feet. That's where our steps are going to be. And when we are following him, you know what? Someone who is truly seeking God's will. We may not instantly know it, but if we are looking for his will, and we say, Lord, I just want to know your way. I feel like I'm in the dark on this. That's a good place to be. Pour your heart out to the Lord and ask him to show you the way. And he will. He will. We use the term, it's like he turns the light on. And if we, by faith, wait on him when we are in the dark, he'll show us. He'll show us. And that's what he means. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's the path of the just. In contrast, the way of the wicked, though, in verse 19, it says darkness. They don't know what they stumble. They don't know where to go, what to do. In verses 20 through 25, we find words of additional encouragement for his son. And we're going to just tell you those words of encouragement. My son, attend to my words, verse 20. Listen to what I say. Don't turn away from them. Verse 21, what I'm sharing with you is life unto those that find them, health to this, for your good. It's for your health. It's good for you, verse 22. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Put away a froward or a deceitful heart, and devious or perverse lips put far away. Keep your eyes looking straight on. Let your eyelids look straight before thee. And he closes in verse 27 and 26 and 27. Be careful about the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Be careful where you walk. Be careful with whom you walk. And he closes by saying in verse 27, stay on course. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Well, we've quickly hurried through this, but do you see how you can take some time with, as you sit alone, and you can look at God's word and you can say, you know, I look, but I don't see it. I don't find anything. Why, there was a wealth of information in those verses, wasn't there? As we think about that, how important. I trust it was a blessing to you, and I trust that it might encourage you to want to sit down with God's word, whether it's a psalm, whether it's an epistle, whether it's a proverb, what it might be. God's word is profitable to us. Spend time in it. And as we think about what we've looked at this evening, let's be careful about which way we take and which path we're on. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Steve, could you close our service in prayer with us today?